You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Asbury. Thank you, Chapel Band, for starting this week for us with great, great Christmas music. And December 2nd, it's the last week of Chapel. Welcome to the start of Christmas, as you've been welcomed this morning. And how many of you were in snow somewhere yesterday? In snow, yes. How good is this to start Christmas off perfect for us? It's the start of Advent. My one wish, it might not be under the tree, but one day of snow skiing during the Christmas holidays. That's my wish. In the state of Washington, on the mountain, with my son who's snowboarding, that's the Christmas wish. Okay, this morning we're going to close out for this semester the Best Kind of Life series. And we've held in contrast in front of us this semester thieves and robbers that kill, steal, and destroy, and Jesus who has come that we may have life and have it to the full, the best kind of life. So John 10 begins with this polarity that's set up between the Pharisees and Jesus. Starts in John 9 after Jesus healed a man, the man who had been born blind. Remember what happened when he healed him. The Pharisees came after him and interrogated him. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And the Pharisees, in the dawn of this healing, as the man was worshiping in the synagogue, said that he was steeped in sin from when he was born, and they threw him out of the synagogue. So in John 10, Jesus gives us this parable of what a good shepherd is like compared to the religious leaders who enter the sheep pen another way, like thieves and robbers. There is a best kind of life, and there are enemies to the best kind of life. The season of Advent, the next 4 weeks, are focused on the arrival of Jesus. His incarnation in the first century was long awaited. There were centuries and centuries of waiting. And so the one who came that we may have life and have it more abundant, he entered the world in the most humble manner imaginable. As a baby born in a stable, quiet Jewish village, we just sing about it in such a beautiful way. When the greatest has become the least. This is the Jesus we celebrate. There's two questions that it brings to us as we close out 2024. How has your imagination of the best kind of life changed this semester? How's it morphed? Second question, how has your desire for the best kind of life changed this semester? How's it grown? How's it been energized? How's it been shaped? So John chapter 10, let's hear the words from that passage again. And if you would stand for the gospel reading this morning. I'm going to read to us from the Message, starting with verse 1 in John 10. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about, so he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of, the best kind of life. This is the word of God for the people of God. You can be seated. For this message that we've been unpacking for the last 3 months, I hope for us to close out the semester by looking at desire from three different perspectives. The passage presents to us the enemy's desire, which is contrasted with the desire of the Good Shepherd. And then third, this is the perspective I want us to close with this morning. What is our desire for the more and the better kind of life? Jesus referred to the Pharisees as thieves and robbers because the primary desire that they had was keeping their own power. The key desire of thieves and robbers was to exploit sheep. And you can sum up the enemy's desire for you in three ways that are contrasting to that of the Good Shepherd. The enemy doesn't care about your identity. The enemy doesn't care about leading you out from where you are. And the enemy does not care about going before you to make a way smooth and safe. How thieves enter the sheep pen is just as twisted as why they enter the sheep pen. They enter community by inappropriate ways. They crawl over the wall rather than coming through the door. And so the Pharisees were so fixated on preserving their own power that they could no longer understand even the parable that Jesus shared with them, that the Good Shepherd comes through the gate. And they had no idea what he was talking about. And God had been speaking of this kind of spiritual leadership all across the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34 is one of the most direct passages where you hear God speaking very directly in this same kind of analogy. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And in contrast to these words, in Exodus 34, God says, I will search for my sheep. I will look after them. I will rescue them, bind them up, and strengthen them. If the primary desire of the Pharisee was exploitation and keeping their own power, the primary and deep desire of Jesus as a good shepherd is simple. It's his sheep's welfare, that you would have the best kind of life. And in the five verses that it takes to tell this parable, as John chapter 10 starts, there's four words of action where you hear and you see and you can imagine God's desires because they're on display. First, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus desires that you trust him. And so the way that he enters, where he enters, is in such a way that he can be trusted and known and all of his desires on display. The second word, the action word, he calls his own sheep by name. It's God's heart across the Old Testament. Like Isaiah 43:1, you hear, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. I've called you by name. You are mine." You can hear the voice of the greatest shepherd calling his sheep. Ever since that moment that there was a detachment from the voice of God in the garden, there has been a call of God coming back after us, saying, "You're mine." He desires that you can more distinctly hear his call than you did 3 months ago when this semester started. That you hear, "You are my daughter, you are my son," with greater clarity. The best kind of life is knowing whose you are. The third action word, he leads them out. This description of God's desire for you, it shows up in Psalm 121. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Jesus has this desire of freedom for you. The best kind of life is the life that is surrendered to where he's taken you, where he's leading you. I want to share with you guys a little this morning where God's leading me for the spring semester, because the spring semester is going to be my most unique college semester that I've had in 27 years. I stepped into ministry 35 years ago, and the last 27 have always been in the rhythm of the semester on campus. And this spring, I'm going to have a sabbatical. And I'm going to be completely away from campus. And it's going to feel a little surreal for me. And it's going to be this a time of spiritual renewal, a time of marriage renewal, and a different pace for me and my family. And it's going to be a time of dissertation writing that I'm also cranking out. And I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss campus in ways that I can't yet imagine. But I'm really grateful that Asbury's given me a sabbatical space. And I sense in the way that Jesus talks here about leading out, I sense him leading me to quiet waters. And you know when you need those waters. And when those waters are the promise of refreshment and renewal. The fourth action word that's in this passage, he walks ahead of them. He's the kind of shepherd whose interest is not himself. It's the sheep. So this description of the shepherd going ahead, it's God's desire to be way maker. The best kind of life isn't simply when life unfolds in front of you and you're like, "Oh, that's it." The best kind of life is having a relationship with the one who is the way maker, that you hear the one in front of you who is making the way. Since John 10:10 makes the desires of Jesus very clear, that he has come that we might have a more and better life than we ever dreamed of, the best kind of life, we're left with a question. Do we desire it? Is our human desire for this best kind of life that Jesus has come to give us? It's in his book, The Gift of Thorns, that A.J. Swoboda describes the scene of the fall in Genesis 3. And he says, only after that serpent's discussion with the woman is the prohibited tree described as desirable for gaining wisdom. It's only at that moment that the fruit is called desirable. In this garden where God's word had been trusted and contentment was the air they breathed, Swoboda says, was now the garden where the serpent's words became trusted and discontentment was awakened. As we step into Advent, in our culture, Western capitalism and Christmas are almost inseparable. Black Friday and the Christmas season is the height of advertising. You've seen it and you've heard it. Swoboda, as he talks about desire, he describes advertising as an industry that seeks more than anything to create a desire for desire. And he goes back 100 years and points to a man named Paul Mazur who wrote the mission statement for Western advertising industry. 100 years ago, this is what he said. We must shift America from a needs to a desires culture. People must be trained to desire, to want new things, even before the old have been entirely consumed. We must shape a new mentality. Man's desires must overshadow his needs. A person's desires must overshadow their needs. So why do we ask the question about whether or not we desire the best kind of life that Jesus has come to offer? Because every day, Swoboda says, our desires are being discipled and educated. There's 4 to 10,000 advertisements that the average American entertains every day. And when it comes to the education of our desires, this is his succinct statement. Our desires are either being conformed into Christ's image or the serpent's. In John 10, Jesus enters by the gate, visible, trusted. He calls his sheep by name, by name. And he leads them out into freedom, into green pastures, beside still waters. And he walks ahead of them. He makes the way smooth. And according to John 10, what are the actions that are required of the sheep? What is it that we step into that our desires would be conformed into the image of Christ? There's two words, two action words. The sheep listen to his voice. They tune in to that still small voice. They tune in to the one that calls them by name. And he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they hear his voice. It's this rhythm of listening, hearing the voice, going in the direction of the voice and following and listening and following. Desiring the best kind of life is what John Wesley called purity of intention. And what did he mean by purity of intention? Dedicating all of life to God. It is the giving all our heart. It is one desire and one design ruling all of our tempers, ruling all of who we are. And so as we begin Advent 2024, will you begin it with purity of intention, with one desire for Jesus to rule over all of who you are? Let's pray together. Father, you long for us. You long for us to hear your voice, your call to us. Lord, help us listen. God, you long to give us the best kind of life. And you long and desire that we would follow you into it. Holy Spirit, would you prepare our hearts for this Advent, for the coming of Jesus? And Lord, help us to listen and help us to follow. We ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.